Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, a podcast about jiu-jitsu and so much more. I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
I'm Jennifer Risser, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt full of nonsense and tomfoolery. If you've missed the last couple episodes, I'm filling in for international superstar Jen Eads, who's taking a little bit of a hiatus.
Yeah, and I've been doing that intro, and this is the first time that I've gotten it right on the first try.
We got a big thumbs up when she got it right.
I was like, I did it.
We're going to finally get all the pieces right, and then Jen's going to come back.
I know.
Like, just when we got it. Shoot.
Isn't that just how it is? When we used to do Zumba at the gym, I would tell new people, like, you're going to get the dance right as the song's over.
Right.
It's very repetitive. You're going to get it right as it's over.
Man, I'm excited to do Zumba again.
Me too. It'll be fun. So what are we talking about today?
So we were going to talk about, you know, how to start in jiu-jitsu or how to come back to jiu-jitsu after a long hiatus, or maybe just start at a new gym.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, starting's the hardest part and starting over is the next hardest part, because it can be really hard. You know, we like to talk about the mats will always welcome you back if you're gone, but it is hard, you know, making that step to get back into it.
Yeah. So maybe we start with just how do you start as a beginner?
Yeah. What kind of things are you looking for in a gym?
Well, you want it to be clean. You want it to be welcoming. You want to make sure there's good instruction. Some people judge that by lineage, but frankly, that feels kind of old school. I feel like lineage these days, it's kind of like, okay, cool, you got your black belt from so-and-so. Like, we're under Robert Drysdale, but like, that doesn't mean we know jiu-jitsu specifically. Like, I do think that we know jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
But like, I don't think that our pedigree shows that.
Exactly. Well, and we've been to a Drysdale seminar a couple times, but like, we didn't learn jiu-jitsu from Robert.
Exactly. That was a great seminar. That's a very tall man.
Yes.
He is very good at jiu-jitsu, and I loved some of the philosophy he was talking about, too.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we're a Zenith affiliate, but that doesn't mean, you know, we know how to teach jiu-jitsu. So like, and frankly, how do you decide that, you know, as a new person? Because it's like, as us, you know, we're black belts. We know what we're looking for in instructors and like what makes a good instructor or what doesn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do you think about that?
That's hard. That's really hard to like not know any jiu-jitsu but feel like they are teaching well. I think maybe, you know, when you're in your first class or your first couple of classes, just observing whether they're saying words or not, whether it feels like, not that you can get the move when you come off the wall, because you're brand new. Like, I don't expect a brand new person to be able to recreate what I just taught, but are the rest of the students in class getting the move?
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to tell, you know, how much are people struggling, or even just, you know, are people asking questions? How's the instructor responding to questions? You know, what are the vibes like? Because you might not know jiu-jitsu, or is this person a good instructor, or do they know jiu-jitsu? But like, I think you know if someone's giving off a good vibe. Are they happy to answer questions? Are they rude about questions? Those types of things, right? Like, are they willing to admit, you know, I don't really know. Let's try it out and see. You know, like, that's one of my favorite things. It's like, let's find out if that works, you know? So I think that can be a piece of it.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at whether, like, the instruction is good. But like you said, at the end of the day, the vibes are one of the most important things, because it is kind of from the top down a little bit, right? Like, the community is going to act as the community acts. So if the vibes are good from the coach, it's much more likely the vibes are going to be good from the other students as well.
Yeah, and are the other students welcoming you? Are they helping you? Is someone helping you? You know, that kind of stuff.
And if no one, like, jumps to help you right away, does the coach help you find somebody? I think that can be really important, too. And like you said, cleanliness and, I mean, you know, is there a place to change? All that stuff is very important.
Yeah, I mean, like, at our gym, we have women's changing rooms, men's changing rooms, and then we have single stall changing rooms for anybody that doesn't want to be in a changing room or who doesn't specifically identify as one of those things, right? Yeah. That's important. You know, there are lots of gyms that have no changing rooms, or, like, the men just get, you know, undressed in the middle of the gym, kind of. And that can be kind of uncomfortable for women. Like, that doesn't necessarily make it feel like a safe space for women.
Yeah, I've definitely been at gyms like that where people are just stripping down right in the middle, and it's like, it's not what I want. It's very uncomfortable.
Other things you're looking for in a gym?
I think checking their social media too, right? Like, so I do business coaching for various martial arts gyms and other businesses, but particularly martial arts gyms. And I had a guy contact me. I have two stories real fast. I had a guy contact me once that wanted coaching, and I looked at his social media, and it was so just, it felt derogatory in so many different ways that I was like, I can't help you. I don't want to work with you. And I think, you know, as a student looking at the social media and seeing, like, kind of checking out the vibes from that standpoint too. Does it look like it's a place where they're starting stuff, talking trash about other people, are respectful or not? Or does it look like a uplifting place? Another one, I was kind of already coaching them, and they sent me a flyer that they were working on, and they had a, like, it had different coupons on it, but one of the coupons was a placeholder because they didn't know what they were going to be selling at that point. And it was very gross. It was offering a very personal type of massage.
Oh, God.
And I was like, this is not okay. Like, I know you think it's a joke. I don't.
You're fired.
You're fired. Yep.
Oh, gross.
But, you know, like, those kind of places, whether they respect all types of people, all backgrounds, like, that's the kind of thing you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, I know people don't like to call. Like, most of us in this day and age don't like to make phone calls. But if you can, call and set up an appointment to go in the first time or stop in. But I think you're also kind of looking for some sort of a trial to make sure that, like, one class is really hard to tell if you like the place or not.
Right. Or the sport. I mean, if you've never done jiu-jitsu before, one class. I mean, some people are hooked after one class, but it took me a couple months.
But yeah, I think, you know, so some sort of a trial is an important thing to look for as well. And don't be afraid to try multiple places. Like, you know, you might go in and be like, oh, nope, this is it. These are my people. I feel at home. And you might go, I'm just not really sure. And if you have that moment of like, I'm not really sure, go try somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. You can also look for, you know, do they do community type things outside the gym, if that's something you're looking for. You know, some people come to the gym to work out and then they go home and that's all they want. But some people want more of a community, right? And so are there like community days, or like we just did our team training where we all like trained together, did some promotions, and then had a pool party and a field day at our house. And, you know, is that the kind of thing you want? You know, ask them the kinds of things they do. Or, you know, a bunch of us are going to a concert this weekend and then bouldering for somebody's birthday and stuff like that, right? And yeah. So even just kind of seeing, what's the community like? Is it what you're looking for?
Yeah, I think that's important because, you know, people talk about how hard it is to make friends as an adult. And like, where do you make friends? And jiu-jitsu brings fast community if that's a community, right? Like you said, some places are just come in, do the class, and that's it. But you know, I was actually laughing earlier because I was filling out the calendar, like our board up front, and it was like concert, bouldering, celebration meals, because we do like the celebration meals every month, and Holiday World. And I was like, we have so much going on, and it's mostly, you know, just us being friends. So
yeah, trying to build community, trying to be there for each other, trying to get to know each other off the mat. If that's something you're looking for, ask about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask if there's opportunities for that. Also, like, you know, is it important to you that the gym gives back in any way? You know, like, that's not always possible for everybody, but I think they can give back in some way. So, you know, maybe talk to them about what they might be doing to give back.
Yeah, some gyms do like community service day, or like we have a community pantry where people can bring in food for their teammates.
We also help raise money for Alzheimer's, or we might do seminars for, you know, various charities or something like that.
Yeah, we also, I mean, I guess this isn't a thing that we would really probably tell someone that's coming in necessarily, but like, you know, we sponsor people, right? You know, there's a certain percentage of our community that just, they can't afford it, and training is really important, and so we sponsor them.
Well, we try to make jiu-jitsu and kickboxing and, you know, judo
Accessible.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, accessible.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's sliding scale options and sponsorship options, scholarship options, you know, and that's sometimes us doing that, and that's sometimes other people donating it too, because we have a lot of really good people in our community.
This is not a podcast for you to quit your gym and come to ours.
It could be. Give me a call.
Yeah,
we're Amy Dillon, Nicole DeFrancisco.
But, you know, like, for gym owners, like, this is good things to think about too. Like, Are you providing these things that when people are looking for a gym to start at or transfer to, are these things that you've thought about?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, is there anything else that you think is important when you're selecting a gym that you can think of?
Whether they compete or not, and if you are interested in competing. So I think this can go both ways. Like, if you want to compete, do people from that team compete? And if you do not want to compete, is competition mandatory? Because we've seen both parts of that.
Yeah, that's really important. Also, finding out just about like promotion structure, you know, what's it based on? Is it just based on sort of attendance and time in? Is there a belt test? Is there a cost associated with that belt test? Most jiu-jitsu gyms, they don't have a cost associated, but some do. So that's something to find out about and, you know, kind of know with eyes wide open going in.
Yeah, yeah, what the future of your jiu-jitsu or your journey looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take you time to get a blue belt, right? But you want to know, do they stripe? How do they stripe? What does that look like? You know?
Yeah.
It's important to know.
Good, good. I think this is a great introduction to getting started in jiu-jitsu. And just know that, like, we talked about what to look for in a gym, but I think it's also important to know, like, you're going to feel like you're drowning for a few months. Like, it is a lot of information. We have a new girl, Dee, that just started, and she's just like, it's so much. It's so much information. And I was like, I get that. Like, if it weren't, you'd be bored immediately, right? But for the first few months, you're going to be like, it's like drinking from a fire hose, right? But suddenly, you're doing things, and a new person comes in, and you're helping teach them how to shrimp. And I think jiu-jitsu is very beautiful, but like, obviously I start the podcast with, I'm obsessed with jiu-jitsu, but know that don't expect too much from yourself, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I think that's good advice.
Yeah. Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, okay. So we kind of dove right into the middle of that, but okay, you've chosen your gym. How do you start?
Some gyms do like a private lesson to start. Some just schedule you a time to come in. I don't know if some just, if you just walk in, I don't know, but find out what that looks like. Find out what it looks like to walk in for the first time. What do you wear? For us, we say wear something clean and comfortable with no zippers or buttons and no tank tops. And then I say, you know, t-shirt and basketball shorts or something would be perfect. If it's a night where the gi is required for the move, like I'm teaching cross chokes or something, then we have loner gis. But so I think that's how you start. Just figure out what the best way to come in for the first time is and what you need to wear. You know, obviously be clean, have your fingernails trimmed. Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, so have good hygiene, show up wearing the right clothing as outlined by the coach. Mm-hmm. And I think show up just ready to like try and don't be afraid to be silly or look silly. You know, jiu-jitsu is so silly. It's one of the silliest sports, and that is a piece of its awesomeness, in my personal opinion. But, you know, if you came in knowing how to shrimp, it's weird. It'd be really weird if you came in and you just knew how to shrimp, unless you were watching a tutorial because you're, like, obsessively consuming material in advance of coming to class.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people feel like they have to know things coming in, or they have to be, like, consuming things outside of jiu-jitsu. It's okay to feel that way, but also, you don't have to do that. You can just come to class and take in what you can. You know, just do your best. Try class. Do as much as you can. You know, our gym is very do what you can. Do as much as you want or as little as you want. I will say that not all gyms are like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back to the conversation of how do you know what gym to pick, knowing that too, you know, some gyms are, you're doing every single round with no rounds off. And some of them are just kind of like, do what you can. Do what you want to do. Like, you're an adult person that pays to do this as a hobbyist.
Yeah.
You do you.
It's funny. I've seen both sides of this, too, where some gyms, like, from day one, they basically want to beat the crap out of you to see if you can survive. Mm-hmm. And then there are gyms that don't let you roll at all for 6 months. And, you know, I think figuring out which is your vibe, which one you want. We've said vibe a lot in this podcast, but which one of those works for you. For us, I just say, or, you know, we say roll as soon as you're ready. Like night one, we're probably going to play the guard game, which is just you trying to pass my guard, nothing else. I'm not trying to submit you. I might try to like check your base, knock you over a little, but, and that just gets you into the physical aspect of rolling without the fear of getting submitted.
Or the need for a ton of technique, right?
Yeah.
It's just sort of a game to see, okay, I can touch a person. I can move around. I can put my weight on them. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else as far as getting started in a gym?
Know what gear you need. You know, in our gym, you don't really need your own gear until you sign up. We always have loaner gear, but know what you need. Know how long the trial is. And really, my best advice is don't get obsessed with just memorizing a bunch of moves, right? Like consuming a bunch of YouTube material. First of all, there's so much content online, there's no way to know what's good and what's not good unless you directly ask your coach. You know, you might be learning something that's just like crazy and random, right? Don't feel like you have to learn all the fancy things. You can be learning the basics and the fundamentals. Fundamentals are key. If you're looking at really high levels of jujitsu, fundamentals matter so much, right? They're doing some fancy stuff too, but like those fundamentals really matter. And so I think people come in and they want to know things, right? They want to be doing all the things, but you know, just don't put too much pressure on yourself. Don't expect too much of yourself, as you said earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. And start making friends, you know, like introduce yourself to people and ask them, you know, how long have they been training? What got them started? What makes them stick around? Like, I think you can learn a lot from the other students.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And like bonding is part of the fun, right? Like having that community is part of it. And it's sometimes kind of easy to bond with people that you're, you know, in such close physical contact with. Recovery. For newbies, you should definitely be working on your recovery. That's true for if you're getting back into jiu-jitsu too, but you know, sleep enough, drink enough water, eat enough protein, consider recovery type supplements like creatine or what's it called?
Like fish oil or...
What's the one that we say that's like magic?
Catalyst.
Catalyst. And that has BCAAs in it because I know words. Consider things like Catalyst or something with BCAAs in it or creatine. Getting enough protein, getting enough water, all those things are really important.
Definitely.
Soaks, like soaking in a tub, like hot soaks or sauna, you know, just take care of your body. Some people go in just a million miles a minute, right? They try to do all the things every class for weeks. They burn themselves out. They get sore. They get injured. Maybe ease yourself in. 2 or 3 classes a week is a great start.
Definitely. I think that's a really good point. I've seen people like, I'm going to come to all 3 classes and then I'm going to come the next night. And it's like, just maybe ease yourself in.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Cool. Well, is that all for the beginners?
I think that's a good start. If you have questions about getting started or things you'd like to add that you think that we should mention, please reach out to us. You can find us at Beauty and the Gi on Instagram, and we'll tell you more about our other socials at the end. But like, reach out to us. Let us know what you think we should be adding to that list of helping people get started.
Yeah.
So the next hardest thing, getting started again.
Yeah. That could be after having stuff happen in your life where you had to take a break. It could be having an injury.
Yeah. I feel like I might be an expert in this. Between, you know, I've had multiple surgeries over the past few years, not just from like, well, definitely not just jiu-jitsu, but, you know, I've had some various health things that I've had to have surgeries for, and it feels like I'm constantly like getting back to it. And I'm really in that era right now. You know, last week I rolled all 5 rounds, and it was the first time I rolled 5 rounds in a row in I can't tell you how long. And it's hard. It's very hard getting back to it, but it also feels really good. Like, it feels, you know, we always say the mats welcome you back, and I at least have the benefit that I've been teaching the whole time, so I'm still there with everyone. But, you know, people got used to me not rolling. So now that I am rolling, it's not like people are like, hey, you want to roll? They're like, oh, coach is rolling. Like, it's more of a surprise than, you know, people asking. So they did get used to me not being there in a way, right? They're used to my face, but not my rounds. So, you know, getting back to like asking people and getting out there, it can be hard. It can be a little hard on the ego because you're like, oh, I have no cardio. You know, like, oh, I used to be able to do this and I can't do that yet or whatever. But I never regret it. Like, I always am so glad. No matter how many rounds I made it through, I always feel good. I feel glad I got back to it. I'm trying to get back to lifting right now. And it's always like getting started again is really hard, but I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have the opportunity to, right? I'm happy to have that just opportunity to be able to get back on the mat and not be done.
Yeah. So do you have advice for people?
I mean, honestly, my advice is do it for starters. Also, be patient with yourself. It's back to that recovery being really important. And just, you know, like when I have a new student come back that's been gone for a while, I tell them, right now, your only job is remembering jujitsu, just putting jujitsu back in your body. So I think just being patient with, you cannot expect to come back and be the person you were on your last day before. So,
yeah, absolutely.
How about you? Do you have advice for getting back to it?
Well, I guess it depends on your reason for being gone. You know, if it was an injury, I think that looks different than if it was life circumstances, right? You know, life circumstances, I guess either way, ease yourself back in.
Yeah.
Right. But if it's an injury, speaking as two injured old black belts, like ease yourself in, rehab your injuries, right? Like make sure that you're taking care of yourself. You know, some people want to hop back in immediately post-injury, right? They're like, it's not a real injury, I'm just going to tape it, just rub dirt on it, it's fine. Truly rehab your injuries. You will regret not rehabbing your injuries in jiu-jitsu, I think.
I think so, too. I have regretted that.
That's what, you know, jiu-jitsu is a year-round sport, right? It doesn't really have seasons. Like, it has gi and no-gi seasons, kind of, right? But I think that can be a hard thing to navigate. So, you know, make sure you're respecting your injuries. You're telling your training partners, like, hey, don't attack my shoulder, or hey, my ribs hurt, or, you know, whatever is true for you. Sometimes that means controlling who you roll with, right? Like if I'm hurting, I'm probably not going to roll with everybody. I'm going to roll with the people that I know are going to be careful with me or able to be cognizant enough to say, okay, I'm not going to attack that thing because it's injured right now. So easing yourself back in and respecting sort of your injury or your recovery status, I think is important.
Yeah, definitely. And getting back to doing the things that, you know, again, like making sure you're getting enough protein and you're taking recovery supplements and, you know, the things that when you took the time off, you probably also, you know, just kind of let that go to the wayside. And so,
yeah, I think most of our advice for brand new people also applies to people coming back.
Yep.
Don't expect yourself to know everything. Don't expect yourself to remember everything. Your body might have changed. You might be post-surgery or post-baby or, you know, in a different body for one reason or another. Those things happen as our lives change. So, you know, it's okay to have different jujitsu to fit what your body can do now. Like, that's just okay. You know, as we age, our jujitsu will change. That's just simply true, especially if you've got certain types of jujitsu that doesn't, you know, do well with old bones or less flexibility.
Yeah, and that's one of the beauties of jujitsu is it's very adaptable. Like, you can always change your jujitsu based on your body. You just have to be patient with yourself about it.
Yeah. Do your best to set your ego aside. That can be really hard, but I think it limits you the most, whether you're brand new or you're returning. You know, it can be, oh, well, I was neck and neck with that person, or I was ahead of that person before I was gone, and now I'm back, and they're ahead of me, or they're beating my butt, or whatever, you know? So,
yeah.
Be kind to yourself. Do your best to set your ego aside. If you're feeling upset, maybe spend some time thinking about, okay, why am I so upset, you know? I think that's the kind of thing that keeps people out of jiu-jitsu more than anything.
Is comparison.
Yep. Thief of joy.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Before we wrap this podcast up, we wanted to give a few shout outs. Congratulations to Jessica Kane on receiving her blue belt, to Diana and Savannah on making the leap and joining a new gym, and to Ari for pulling off two flower sweeps in her tournament. She messaged me that she pulled those off from learning them at camp. So I just always think those are fun when people send messages, and I just want to celebrate everyone for that.
I love that. That's awesome that they sent you a message that they hit something that you taught. That's,
I know. Cool.
I love so when fun. I get messages like that. Like, somebody will send me a video of like, look at this sweep I hit. And it's like, all right.
Yeah.
Love that. Awesome. All right. So I think that wraps it up for today. Where can they find us?
You can find us on Instagram at Beauty and the Gi Podcast. And I'm AJ Klingerman everywhere you go, including TikTok, because we changed it after the last episode.
All right. And if you need me, just message AJ. You probably don't need me. Let's be honest.
I think we are going to do an Ask a Black Belt podcast soon. So if you have any questions for us, please shoot us those questions and we'll answer them maybe on the next episode.
How do they do that? On Instagram?
Yeah, that's the best way, I think.
Slide into our DMs, girl.
There's this really fun thing that a podcast I listen to does where they do a rhyming thing that's like, if you liked our show, tell someone you know. And I want to do that at the end of all of our podcasts.
Okay, what's this one?
Well, that was it.
Oh, okay.
So, if you liked our show, tell someone you know.
I like that. As a reminder, Role Models Women's Only Base Camp in Indianapolis is on sale now. The dates are July 10th through the 12th of 2026. And there is a discount code, and we will put it in the show notes. I think it might be BG100. It's $100 off. But I will verify that and put it in the show notes. And when I say I mean Jen, because she is still an international superstar.
Doing our show notes for us. Also, we have our White Belt Camp coming up October 17th through the 19th. And that is all on guard.
All right.
And that is in Indianapolis as well. And it is at our gym. I think we're going to have a Halloween party that night.
So. I'm very excited about that.
Me too. It'll be a lot of fun. So come hang out with us and learn so much jujitsu.
All of it.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you
on the mat.
Beauty and the Gi is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company.
And brought to you by Role Model Grappling.
All right. We're getting the hang of this.
We have like one more podcast to do and then Jen takes back over and we just learned it.
Oh yeah, September is next. I wasn't ready for September yet.
That is the order of the months.
Shoot.
I'm so glad that you guys stayed for this. Okay, bye.